Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is 8 o'clock. It's Thursday evening. This is LA Talk Radio, and you are listening to The Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina, with my co-host sitting over across from me, the lovely Bobby Jean Bell, and of course her husband, Jim, sitting in his chair, holding up the headphones tonight. Good on you. The Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing in Simi Valley and by Out West Boutique and Cultural Center in Newhall. And our guest tonight should prove to be very interesting, so if you really want to call in and talk to her, the number to call in is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. How was your show this morning, Bobby?
Oh, it was so much fun. We had Canadian singer, songwriter, performer, good friend of ours, Eli Barcy, on. And then our second guest was all about training mules and donkeys. Oh, and it was fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was fun.
Good. Good. Well, do you want to get right into our guest and give us what information we have about her?
Oh, you know, do you like mysteries?
I do.
Do you like suspense mysteries?
I do.
Do you like them when they have a little horror mixed in?
You want to rephrase that?
Well, our guest tonight, our author guest tonight is Pamela Malls. We're going to call her Pam, but if you're searching for her online or whatever, it's Pamela Malls. And she has written four great mystery suspense kind of stories. And she's going to join us in a moment, calling in from San Diego, which is her home base. And we're going to learn more about her and her books in like 1 minute.
And her daughter and her husband and her life and probably dogs, cats, and whatever. I have a funny story for you. When I was like 13, 14, we were made our garage into, it was Halloween time, so we made our garage into this house of horrors. So we're talking about it, and my dad says, what's going on in the garage? And said, well, we're making a whorehouse. And he said, you may want to rephrase it or call it something different. I think we're having a call here, so hold on a second.
Great.
This is Jim. Is this Pam? Hello? Whoever it was, call back.
Call back.
I just I'll resume. Oh, I see. Okay. We got her on hold.
Oh, okay.
Well, let's just bring her in.
Let's bring her in.
Let's do that. Are you with us, Pam?
Yes, hello.
Oh, hello.
We're so happy to have you with us tonight.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, everybody's got to be somewhere, huh? Okay, I have to ask. You're a third-generation San Diego native.
Yes.
Where in San Diego?
Currently it's Escondido,
right.
Kind of by the Wild Animal Park.
Okay.
Nice and warm, yeah.
Okay, and before? Were you raised in Escondido?
I lived in University City, Mira Mesa, Tierra Santa,
wow.
Rancho Bernardo, so you name it, but you can't beat anywhere in San Diego.
Well, I was a Del Mar boy.
All right.
Yep, went to San Diego Union High School in Del Mar, California.
All right,
horse
races, beach.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I lived right across the highway from the racetrack and right on the beach.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. Now, is this you calling me back? No, it's not. Someone else is calling. Hang on.
Okay.
Hi, this is Writer's Block. Who do I have here? Hello? Hello?
Call us back.
Call us back. going. You be gone.
Okay.
Okay. Pam, let's get you back. Okay, you're back. Just a second. Our producer just walked in. Yeah, the people are calling you and they're dropping them.
So. Well, it was a very shy person. It reminds me, Pam, in the book The Reunion, your main characters get a lot of creepy phone calls.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, how do you come up with these stories?
You know what is funny? Because, well, I always would read scary books when I was growing up, and then I always wanted to see the scariest movies, although that's changed now that they've become so terrifying. I'm kind of less willing to see what's out in theaters now. But that's just kind of the only option, it seemed like, is scary stuff.
Wow. Well, apparently you did a good job.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It just started out kind of as a hobby, and then as far as coming up with the ideas, I do it sort of, I think, probably not the typical way that most writers do, because I never know the ending ahead of time, and that can be challenging sometimes.
I don't either, actually. The characters just run the story. I'm just a slave at the typewriter.
That was
it would be so much easier.
Yeah.
Well, and that was a question that I did have, since you write mystery suspense kind of stories, and so obviously we have, you know, victims, and then we have, you know, who's making them victims, and I would have thought that you would know who it was or how it was going to end, but no, huh?
No, I know, and it's so funny. Sometimes you get kind of lucky, and a couple times I've had to do rewrites, and then I've got three books sitting here at home on the computer unfinished because, you know, I didn't, and every time I tell myself I'm going to come up with the ending first, and never, can't do it.
I can't either.
If we could, I'd like to talk about one of the books, Murder by the Book. It's such a really great concept here. Tell us a little bit about that book.
That book, let's see, that's my third book, and I thought it would be fun to do. So what's happening is the murderer, it turns out, is mimicking famous thriller novels like Stephen King and things like that.
Right.
And I thought it would be fun to do something like that so I could reference some of my favorite scary books.
I wondered, because you also have the main character, Keeley. She owns a bookstore. What a clever name for the bookstore.
By the Book? Are we giving spoiler alerts, Pam?
I know, spoiler alert. By the Book, B-U-Y, the book. Is there a store in your area that has that name? Were you, you know, did you just come up with that, or do you shop a place that's called that?
No, I did just come up with it. Thank you for enjoying that.
That was great. And she obviously enjoys mysteries. She has written a couple mysteries herself, your main character, but you have her pulling off the shelves her favorites, The Cradle Will Fall.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
And The Silence of the Lambs.
Scary.
And The Mephisto Waltz. And I thought, wow, this character is taking those off the shelves to read at night while she's trying to unwind from these murders happening all around her.
I know. Right, exactly. Yeah, it's pretty funny, but that's probably something I would do too. Those books are all very good. I love them. Some of my favorites.
Yeah, they are good.
Yeah. So Keeley, our main character, there's a bunch of victims in this story, and I probably shouldn't do spoiler alert kind of things, because hopefully people listening will want to go and read this book. But
Yay.
Can you tell us a little bit about that character and how you created her?
Gosh, that is a tough question. Let's see. Well, she's kind of young, and she has an older brother who's much older, and her parents have passed away, and she has a fiancé. And I don't know. You know, again, it's kind of like what Jim was saying. It's just sort of like all of a sudden the characters start writing themselves, and it's so funny that everything flows so well until I get to the end, and then that is always just kind of like, oh, and if it works out, which it has four times, it's just pure luck.
Oh, I don't think it's pure luck, Pam.
So three, you have three books that are yet unfinished. I was curious if they have the titles of two of Keeley's books, Dreamcatcher and He Knows You're Alone.
Oh, that is a good question. No, I was thinking about doing He Knows You're Alone. Actually, thank you for reminding me, because there's one that I'm just toying with that I've barely begun, and it's going to be, the setting is Halloween, and that would be a great name for that one.
Well, we can wait while you jot that down.
I know. Hold on a minute. Thanks. That's a great idea.
It's a 50-minute show. You got time, right?
I'll have to credit you for that. Thank you.
Just make sure it spells right.
Yeah.
Let's see, Jim. Do you have?
I do. When you're sitting down to write, and do you use an outline, or you just let your brain run the paper?
Yeah, just let the brain run the paper for sure.
Yeah, that's what a lot of writers we're finding out that are doing. Very few guys are writing by outlines and stuff anymore.
Do you have a favorite place you like to write?
Well, let's see. We have a laptop, and I usually do it at home, and sometimes in the pickup line at school, I've been guilty of doing that. But mostly just kind of anywhere on the couch, just wherever I can be comfortable. And, I don't have a specific writing spot. People always ask me that.
Really?
Do you have a, are you disciplined where you make sure you write something, whether it's the book you're working on or, you know, that every day you're writing, or what's your discipline, if there is one?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. No, there's definitely not one. As a matter of fact, our computer, I just took it to Best Buy today. We were having some problems, so I haven't done anything in a few weeks. But typically that is the plan, is to just write something. And now I don't know which of these three to pick up on or if I'll just start fresh. It's one of the books that I'm working on is it's definitely long enough to be a novel. It's just I have no clue where to go with it, and I think it'll be my favorite if I ever can get the ball rolling on that. So,
well, you can always just make it short and put three short ones in there and call them novellas.
Yeah, that would be a great idea.
Yeah, I come up with them every now and then.
It's just few
and far between.
let's see, another book that I have. I have to say, I read Murder by the Book and couldn't put it down. My husband just asked me when we were in the green room here. He said, "Well, when did you have time? When did you have time to read these books?" And I said, "Well, I just didn't go to bed, you know."
Yeah.
Well, you can't, and you can't go to bed. This is you start reading these books and you don't want to go to bed, really, because you want to know what happens. And if you're a light sleeper, I wouldn't recommend that you
read them before going to bed.
But I thoroughly enjoyed Murder by the Book, and I'm pretty astute. I'm a pretty good reader, but I did not expect the ending, which we won't do anything to make a spoiler alert. I was going through process of elimination and, all the things that we do, and the whole ending was a surprise.
Yay, that's great.
And now I'm reading The Reunion. So, and I'm fast forwarding because I really want to know what happens. In the first book, in Murder by the Book, you don't really tell us anything much about our murderer. In The Reunion, you kind of begin to introduce him to us early on.
Yes.
And if it's okay with you, I'm going to read aloud just the little bit where we meet him for the first time. Is that okay with you?
Oh, yeah,
Jim is showing me a...
I'm giving her a finger.
Yes, I know.
Actually, what I wanted to say, Pam, do you have your computer on? Are you listening to this as well?
My husband and my daughter are.
Ah, well, I hate to tell you this, but they got to either turn it down or leave the room.
Yeah, it's a little
because
echo.
Because there is a delay.
Oh, they're in the other room.
Oh, really?
We're all upstairs.
That's a loud computer.
They'll hear it. They'll hear that we're saying this. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. They probably just said, oops.
They're famous.
There you go.
Did we need to take a break, though, Jim?
No, go ahead. Okay. I can hold it for a little bit.
Okay, so this is from the book The Reunion. It's just very short, but it gives you a little bit of an idea of Pam's writing. He was sitting on the patio of a busy restaurant during lunch hour with a glass of Chardonnay. The fizzling embers at the end of his cigar created an ever-catching design, though no one was looking. He opened the Sierra Palma 1999 yearbook to the colorful rows of senior portraits set in his lap. He was making a mental list of his soon-to-be victims.
Woo, 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 woo!
Yay. I love it.
And from that we enter, I'm not going to read anymore, but from there we enter chapter two called The Valedictorian. So that gives our listeners an idea of where this is going.
Yeah. Pam, I'm going to pause you for another minute because we have to make some money and play a commercial. But we'll be back to you in just a second.
Hey, Jim Christina here for Target Freight Management, the 3PL solution to all your shipping needs. Are you tired of your freight being reclassed? Tired of calling several freight companies for the best rate for your shipments? Then, of course, they reclass you anyway, and there go your rates. And Target Freight Management has a solution for you. Their customized transportation management system protects all of their clients from situations just like yours. If you're currently shipping a density-based product, you need to call Target Freight today. Target Freight is currently saving their clients between 15 and 20% off their freight costs, and that's a huge savings to anyone. They will even do a free cost analysis of your current freight program to see if you are a good fit for their program, and not everyone is. The kicker is, Target Freight is only paid strictly on the contingency they can save you money on your LTO costs. Call Target Freight Management today and just see what they can do for your company. Target Freight Management, 888-653-1323, or catch them on the web at www.targetfmi.com. That's 888-653-1323, Target Freight Management.
And we are back. And if you're just now joining us, we're on the phone with Pam Malls, and she's a writer of four distinct mystery novels, all novels in which many people die. I don't know how we got there, but she is back with us. And I have a question. I do have a couple of them. When you are coming up with these storylines, and you're sitting there, and you're doing whatever it is you do when you come up with these storylines, how do you figure where the character is going, besides them writing the story, where they're going to start from and where they're going to wind up? You have to have a start. I understand you don't have a wind up, but you'd have a start.
There's the start. Let's see. So basically, it's so funny. Mostly, I think I first come up with the plot, probably just very vague. Okay, let's see. It's going to be about a high school reunion and blah, 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 blah. And then from there, it just starts unfolding. It's the weirdest thing. It's almost like I don't have control over what's coming out, except for, of course, the troublesome endings that I said.
Yeah.
When did you start writing, Pam?
I started, let's see, my daughter just turned 7, and I started when she was a newborn, you know, that phase where all they do is sleep, and you're just sort of twiddling your thumbs, watching over them. So I was just writing Secret at Oakmill Pass just for fun. I thought maybe it would be a short story or a hobby, and then it became a full book, and then I was trying to solicit that. And I wasn't getting a lot of bites. That's, a lot of people say that Secret at Oakmill Pass is their favorite book, but I feel like I think it's a great book, but it's really, the plot's kind of vague. Like, it feels like it takes a long time to explain the plot, and it feels like, while I'm describing it, it sounds sort of bland. So I wanted something a little more meaty that might catch someone's attention, so that's why I came up with the reunion. It was just a really quick plot that could be explained real fast. It's a high school reunion. Someone's disgruntled and people are, you know, it's payback. So that's how those two came about.
Did you do writing when you were a kid? Were you keeping a journal or doing any kind of, you know, short story writing as when you were younger, or just all started in the last 7 years?
No, that's a good question. It's been all along. I was always writing books. I would just take a bunch of papers and staple them together and write books forever. I mean, just since I can remember.
And who was, did you have some good mentorship? Did you have a teacher or somebody that you were sort of counseling with as you were writing?
I think in the very early stages when I was a child, my parents would encourage for us to, we were always reading and we had book collections and we would have, book of the month clubs and stuff like that coming. And then, you know, here, why don't you write a story? So we were always doing that. And then I didn't really do it much in high school except for writing papers. And then in college, I got to take a couple of creative writing classes, which were super fun.
Yeah, they are fun. I took a couple myself, and they're a ball to have, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of gives you a little bit of a, because everybody writes in different ways, and everybody's got a different way of expressing things. But it gives you the basics, and that's what's necessary if you're going to be a writer of any kind.
Yeah, so fun. That was always fun, and then you'd get to see what other people were writing. And right. I was mostly doing short stories for sure.
Well, I think it doesn't. Pretty much everybody starts out with short stories, don't they?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, just, you know, this. I asked the questions here. Hey, I have a question for you, and that question has to do with when you are crafting your story. Do you craft the story to the title, or do you title after you're halfway through the book?
That is a great question. Let's see. No, you know what? I always have the title in mind first, and then so there might be a little bit of crafting towards it. But no, it's always it's the title, and then just like a really vague starter idea, and that's how they all begin.
And do you sit down and say title of page? Okay, dun 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 dun. The reunion prologue or chapter one. And then just sit there and tap your fingers on the desk.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you're a writer, by golly.
Yeah, how do you
know? Because that's what I do.
I'd like to ask a question about how you found your publisher.
Oh, yeah. Well, so at first, like I said, I came up with the first book, and it was completely finished, and I wasn't getting any bites. And the way that I was looking for a publisher is I took... my favorite author is Wendy Corsi Staub, and she's a bestseller, and she's got movies being made about her books. She's incredible. And I became friends with her on Facebook, and I was asking her, you know, what can I do to get started? And she said there was this website called, it's either Editors and Predators or Predators and Editors. I always get it backwards. But if you go on this site, it basically is just telling you, it'll go A to Z, and it tells you... you know, this is a credible place, or it's you know, not legitimate, and it tells you that it's looking for children's books or thrillers or, you know, nonfiction. So I just went through and I just started sending, you know, you have to come up with the query letter, which is oftentimes they're a little bit different for each place, but there's you know, I would kind of come up with just a main letter, and then I would just change the heading and then the criteria. Sometimes send us 5 pages, send us 1 chapter, send us the first 50 pages. So I would just shop everything to the specific publishers, and then finally somebody seemed interested.
What was the name of that website again, Pam?
Well, I'm sorry, I should have checked. It's either Predators and Editors, or it's the reverse, Editors and Predators.
Okay.
But it's a great site.
Because I think that's something we probably could post on our Facebook
page.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to talk to somebody with them that might be associated with them. That's really interesting. Yeah, we learn a lot from our authors. I mean, that's one reason that we really enjoy doing this is it's all about learning about you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's an invaluable website. I think people will really... like to know that.
Well, we have found that most authors love to sit and talk about themselves, so that's what we let you do. We pretty much let you go for the 50 minutes that you're on with us. So. You can tell us anything about yourself that you want.
So you talked about Wendy as being one of the authors that inspires you. Do you have some other favorites that you know you love to read?
Yes, I do. Let's see. I really like Mary Higgins Clark, and I was reading her even as a kid. But then Wendy, let's see, I discovered her probably in my 20s, and she has so many books, and I just bought all of them, and she just now had one come out called Blood Red. It just came in the mail about a week and a half ago, and I can't stop reading that right now. Another reason I'm not typing, I guess.
Ah, good point.
Well, and then we love to find out how authors do their research, because even with your books, you know, you've got detectives, you've got various forms of, you know, how people meet their ends. How did you research?
I definitely did some research, but it would just be online, just little Google searches and things like that. I didn't ever get the chance to. I think back in the olden days before everyone had internet, I think that would have been kind of fun to do my research that way. But I've always just gone online, I have to say.
Well, I know so far we haven't had any firearms. I don't know that that will be true for the balance of the reunion. But I noticed there's poisonings and knives and things that, you know, I thought, well, maybe it's easier to figure out, you know, how those work.
Yeah, really. I know, right. Yes, definitely.
Unless you're a firearm expert like Jim Christina or something.
My books are loaded with guns.
I have to say, Jim, in her book, Murder by the Book, there's a moment when they're looking through the bookstore trying to find somebody, and there isn't anybody in the Western section.
I'm shattered.
Sorry.
All right, rewrite the damn book, Pam. Put somebody in the Western section. Even if it's an old man with an overcoat and a lollipop.
Very, very cute what she writes about the Western section.
Oh, that's funny.
Boy, that's a slam.
Oh, man.
That's okay. I'm not offended,
no,
really.
No, no, no. Okay, so okay. Research. We love to know how people do their research. You told us a little bit about the three books that you're working on. Do you keep a notebook of ideas as they pop into your head for future stories, or?
I have some loose notes on the computer, but gosh, that's probably a smart idea too. It's so funny. You learn things all the time, but yeah, I know that I do have some notes, and I have other ideas of things. And for example, how you had mentioned, am I going to use one of those titles from my book as a book? And that's on there on one of these messy note pages somewhere.
Well, and I also there's a lot of dialogue in your books, and I wondered about how you find writing dialogue. Is that easy, difficult? What goes on there?
Yeah, that is a little difficult sometimes because you don't want to go on and on, but it should flow like a normal conversation. And sometimes I try to remind myself that I need to use more of it.
More dialogue?
Yeah.
Do you like to, when you're out with the family and you're eating out, do you like to listen to the people around you, jot down, really good things that you overheard?
Yeah, sometimes I do that. That's funny. I didn't even realize I was doing that. But yes, definitely.
Yeah, that's like, what is his name? That comedian says, you can't make this stuff up.
Well, yeah, some song titles, I know. Yeah. People have said that, they overheard. Just normal conversation between folks. What about Jim?
We have a question we ask everybody. So this is where you have to grab the armchair. This name of the show is The Writer's Block. Have you gotten the writer's block?
Yes, definitely. Let's see.
I could tell by
I'm
the
having
sigh.
It right now.
Well, she has three books.
For Murder by the Book, especially, and it's funny that that's the one you chose to read, Bobby, because that one it was enough pages, and it seemed pretty good, and it was not going anywhere. And then I just dropped it completely, and I was thinking I was never going to finish it. And then I went back and read it from, start to unended end, and then it just came to me like that. So it's so funny. And that's also the same thing with Midnight Cove, which is my most recent book. Same thing, no ending, and then all of a sudden I had to go back and just take off a very little. Deleting stuff as an author is just the worst, having to go off and take anything out, and I had to take out several chapters, but it just suddenly came to me and I was able to end it. So hopefully that'll be the case with my other three.
Yeah, that's what a writer that we had on, I think it's second or third show. Her name is Margaret Brownlee. She writes Western romance novels.
Mm-hmm.
She's very famous, and she's on the New York Times bestseller list. I mean, she
just keeps writing and writing.
And she just keeps going. And she likes to write six books at a time.
That's her
deal. She says when she gets stuck, she'll go back and she'll rename a character, or she'll just get rid of entire chapters and start again.
It's hard to do that, though, sometimes, because if you have certain verses or a lot of good description or something, so sometimes I'll have to weed through.
Right. That's why you cut and paste.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Oh, for sure. Best friends.
Man, I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many times I've written entire battle scenes and cut and pasted them and then let them sit until I needed them.
Or take it and put it in a different book.
I've never shared battle scenes in my books, but I have put them in just, plug and play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's great. I mean, aren't just word processors are so much fun.
Oh.
See what I mean? We just talk.
Yeah, we just talk.
We just talk. Have you got that wine yet?
No, I didn't. I didn't have enough time, but next time.
Okay.
If you were chatting with a new writer, what kind of advice would you give?
Let's see. Well, I'd probably for sure share that website because I thought that was so good. And the information that, trying to think of what Wendy was telling me, God, she's so awesome, though. She's one, like how you were saying, that woman just writes and writes and writes and writes and just,
Margaret.
And to be able to do a trilogy would be, I just think I can barely finish one book half the time, let alone coming up with something like that. I guess the advice I would give someone is just to keep at it, and, you know, you sometimes think that you're at a block, writer's block, and then you can go back and look at it with fresh eyes, or, you know, start your next book and go back to it, which I've definitely done. These are all kind of out of order.
Well, you know, when I read Murder by the Book, I really felt it could be, that character, Keeley, could evolve into a series.
That would be good.
Yeah, I felt, you know, here she is, she's a mystery writer, she's got a bookstore, she's got all kinds of different people that come in. She, you know, you've started something there that I felt really could go on to be a series.
Oh, that's true. Mystery writer turned detective.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, that is a good idea. Yep. Oh, yeah, for sure. And she's likable. And
yeah, she's very likable. Your characters, the murdered ones, too.
I know,
I mean, they're all likable, you know. It was like, don't take that gal that survived cancer. No.
I know. Oh, you know what's so funny is in one of my books I had, it was in the reunion, you were saying that one of the titles was the valedictorian, and then mm-hmm. there's also like the jock and the class clown
yes.
and the prom queen type. But at first when I had written, I had killed off one of the characters that doesn't actually die, and it was my dad said, oh, he's really likable. Maybe you can just have him be wounded. So that's what I did.
Ah, now I know what. Okay, well, Mr. Christina here, host.
I actually.
He kills off.
I kill off. I kill off so many people.
I really get angry with him because he has killed off some really wonderful people.
I had a character in the first three books that I wrote named Jolly Goodman, and he was just a short, fat, long haired beard, swore like a sailor, drank like a fish. The guy was, I mean,
he was like Falstaff,
but you know, the best friend that anybody could ever have.
Yeah, you just, you know, you took him out.
Yeah, he required a rock to get on his horse. You know, he said he rock broke his mare. So, but anyway, I killed him off in the third book, and it was strictly not the third book, the fourth book. It was strictly just an accident because this guy was in his ranch and he came out of his tack room to go to the bathroom early in the morning, and the guy slit his throat.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. So we have never forgiven Mr. Christina.
And I have been in trouble ever since.
Yeah. And that's just the beginning.
So now I invent characters so they can get killed off.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what you do, for sure. Oh, that's funny. That's what I do.
Well, I mean, I killed off one of the most popular characters I'd ever created, and his name was Bobby Malloy.
Yes.
And just a carefree 21-year-old kid from Texas and winds up getting killed in a gunfight.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, we, you know, I almost didn't want to read any more of Jim's books after that.
Yes, you do.
I know. I'll have to check them out.
Yeah. Oh, I hope you do.
Now, I have another question. In this age of social media and such, and although you have a publisher, do you find that you have to do a lot of marketing yourself? You know, do you get help getting book signings? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's a small publishing company, and the good news is they've put me on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and so it feels wonderful, and the fact that I can actually hold my own books is just wonderful. But, that's pretty much the extent of it, although this was suggested by the publishing company that I try to sign up for one of these interviews, so that was a nice enjoyable surprise. But so I've done a few book signings, and they have to be organized by me for sure. And I did one quite a while ago, let's see, when the reunion was coming out, I did one at a Starbucks in Rancho Bernardo in California.
Mm-hmm.
And that was nice. And it was mostly friends and family, and then a couple, you know, people that were just getting coffee, so that worked out. And then for Murder by the Book, which came out third, I was lucky enough to be able to organize one at this super nice winery by my house, the Belmarie Winery.
That looks beautiful. And
it's beautiful. It has, one of the structures is like a castle, and they have fruit trees growing everywhere, and they let us inside the castle, and I was able to organize that through this wonderful lady, Rosie Barnett.
Yeah, so you really have to do a lot of the work yourself to get the books out there.
Yeah, for sure. And it's tricky if you're not sure what you're doing. But I just would order a ton of books and, you know, call everyone out there, put out the Evite and everything. And then with this winery where I was fortunate enough to have a book signing, we were able to put something in the local paper. So there are things to do. And I've put some of my, I went to San Diego State and I had inquired about putting one of my books in the library there. And then I've donated some to local libraries so that there can be a copy for people to read. But yeah, it's tricky.
Libraries is interesting. Up where we live in the Santa Clarita area, the libraries host a lot of book signings and invite authors in, and it's done through their Friends of the Library groups.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, Los Angeles, there's the big Los Angeles Festival of Books. I don't know if you have anything like that down in Orange County, but that's...
No, San Diego County.
San Diego County. I'm obviously really not a California girl. I still get UCLA and USC mixed up, and I'm, you know, embarrassed to say that, but it's the truth.
Well, that would really piss them off.
But I know, I mean, that's partly why Jim had this dream of having this program is to be a platform for authors to be able to use, because we recognize the challenges that you're all facing today to get your word out there.
Especially the newer writers that you know, are not established yet. And they are, you know, struggling the same as you and me and, you know, half the writers that I know.
So
I know. Great idea.
Your publisher suggested that. Jim and I were just talking earlier today, like, how did you find us?
Yeah, it was so funny because every once in a while one of the other authors in this group, which is a pretty big group, will say, you know, hey, well, what about the so-and-so? And they'll throw out suggestions. But a lot of times this stuff is happening in, you know, on the East Coast or something like that. Or at one point they had offered this kind of book fair. It was in New York, but it was like you have to pay $75 and then your book gets put at a table. And, it's, you know, everyone's kind of asking each other, well, does this work? And how's this going to go down? So I have a feeling it was one of the other authors had somehow found out about you guys, and I can do some more research and get back to you on that. But it was thrown out there in an email from the publishing company, and I thought that was awesome. And I just really quick, I think I wrote to one of you, yeah, sure, why not? And then it evolved from there, and that was exciting.
And here you are. Hey, I have to run another ad, so hang with us, and we'll be back in about 30 seconds.
Okay, thanks so much.
Okay.
Hey, Jim Christina here for TFM Truckload, a division of Target Freight Management. TFM Truckload is here to help you with all of your truckload and railroad shipping needs. If you want a reputable company who is going to work hard to find you the best rates while maintaining the best service, then TFM Truckload is who you need to call. When TFM Truckload books a truck for your company, it shows up 100% of the time. So if you want a reliable truckload broker, then call TFM Truckload today. That's TFM Truckload toll-free at 844-653-7789. Or if you're a web guy like me, go to www.targetfmi.com. So give them a call at 844-653-7789 or catch them on the web.
And we are back. And if you're just now joining us, we're wondering how come it took you so long. You're listening to The Writer's Block on LA Talk Radio, and we are sponsored by Black Dog Publishing, by Out West Boutique and Cultural Center, and of course, Target Freight Management. And we have on the line Pam Mells, and she is just talking about her four books that she's written and the three that she can't quite get to finish.
Yeah, that she's got a little writer's block on all three of those.
And if you want to call in and chastise Pam severely for not finishing those three books, the number here is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. And I'm surprised the bookie hasn't called.
I know, Jerry. If you're listening, Jerry, give us a call. We want to say howdy.
My wife is our booking, so that's who you've been contacting.
Oh, great.
She bitches all the time that she doesn't get paid for it, and she's overworked. I don't get that, you know.
Now, I have another question that I love to ask when we have the time. Do you like the book with pages and covers, or are you reading electronically? You know, what's your favorite form of how to access a book these days?
definitely an old school book. We have thousands of books at our house. It's ridiculous. We have this huge wall-sized bookshelf with a little ladder on it. It's very exciting, and I collect books, and I don't think I'll ever switch over.
Yeah, and there's something about a book and a rainy morning and a cup of coffee. And
when you're trying to get ready for an interview, there is nothing like being able to download three books fast.
I know, eventually, maybe.
See, I'm old school. I don't even have...
Midnight Cove arrived today because it's in paperback version, and I picked it up from the mailbox on our way to the show tonight, but the other three are electronic. And I'm with you. I do love the regular book, but there are some benefits to electronic, which I didn't think I would ever say. I have had challenges with my Nook being totally full, and I had to archive things in order to get new things in. You know, there's some, like, I'd like to just go to the shelf and, like, you know, pull it off the shelf.
Yeah, but one of the advantages is you were able to read 1.5 of my books before the interview.
I absolutely was. I could make the font really big because I'm old, and I have to have the font, you know, really big.
Oh, that's great.
You know, there are some benefits, but yes, I love to ask that question because we're in that period of technology. You know, it's like the Industrial Revolution and other times where do we move forward with what's new? Do we hang on to what's old? What do we do? So, yeah, it would have been hard for your murderer in Murder by the Book to leave an electronic version of, you know, it or the Telltale Heart, you know?
I know. This will become obsolete if we ever make that change.
Yeah, you can't highlight pages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to know. What do you teach?
Oh, well, I'm not teaching now, but when I was teaching, it was high school English. It was 10th grade.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. A real horror story there. No.
Oh, I'll bet.
There's book number four, number eight in the works.
Tell the story of your really. High school English class.
The classroom. No, yeah, it was definitely, that's a job that I really enjoyed it, but it's, you know, if you have a great year, you're disappointed when it ends, and when you have a horrible one, it's, you know, you're in it for the whole year. But it was almost always super enjoyable, and I'll substitute at the school in our neighborhood that my daughter goes through, which is a K-8, so I get to still do some teaching here and there.
Oh, good. My high school literary teacher was Mr. Jordan, and he virtually would take a Shakespearean play and play every part himself.
Oh, I had a teacher in college.
Oh, my God. We'd sit there and just roll on the floor, and you could just see this little old bald guy hunched over going, "Bubble, bubble, toil and trouble."
Oh, my gosh, that is
funny. Professor Tagalbui in college, yep.
Yeah. So they still exist, I'm finding out.
Yay.
And they can have a huge impact on a student's
life. They really, truly can.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, why don't you tell our listeners, our woman listener, your husband, how to get a hold of you? Give me your email address and your website, or you don't have a website, your Facebook address, and give those, that's information.
And spell your last name correctly, because it spells a little different than we've been saying it.
Oh, no, I think you're saying it right. It's M-A-L-V, pronounced like shopping malls.
Okay.
And the books are Pamela Malls, even though I go by Pam. It just sounds smoother, I think. And you can go to Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. Unfortunately, it's not in the stores. And then I have a Facebook page that's simply called The Reunion. It would be probably more beneficial to have Books by Pamela Malls or something like that. But I started with The Reunion, and I don't want to lose the people that I have on there as far as being able to contact them about fun stuff like book signings and books coming out.
Well, it's like a reunion with you. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, the fun stuff is that Bobby and Jim have Out West Marketing, what called the Boutique and Cultural Center, and they have book signings and stuff there. And well, I probably won't be invited anymore because I think I kill off too many people. But they have had some really good responses of people coming in, and actually we have a panel usually, and then we sit and we chat and read sections from our books, and there's questions and answers, and people buy books and sit around and drink wine, and everybody have a good time.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll have to look into it.
Well, I think the writer's block needs to sponsor something like that, and maybe we need to go on the road.
Sure, come on over. That'd be great.
We may do a remote one of these days, but God.
Well, we would appreciate you sharing information about this show with other authors, and however you heard through your publisher, you know, getting back to them, letting them know about your experience on the show. We'll be posting the podcast link directly on your reunion page as well, and send as many people to the Writer's Block Facebook page as you can. And also, Pam, post on the Writer's Block page when you're going to do an event or you have new news. Also use our page. We would love it if our guests would consider sharing whatever you're posting yourself. Just share it on over to the Writer's Block page too.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, thank you. That's great.
Feel free to call in if you're listening some Thursday night and you have something to say, call us.
Yeah.
We love hearing from old authors. Yeah. Well, not old, but you know.
Yeah, no, that would be wonderful.
Alumni.
Well, it's been a hoot talking to you, and I hope you had as good a time as we did.
Yeah, that was so fun. Thank you so much. I'll definitely pass the word on. And
see, we try to make it easy on you. You know.
Yeah, you did. It was very, very, very enjoyable.
Oh, good. Hey, who's your agent?
I don't have an agent.
Okay, so it's not
so
Gene.
So it's through the publisher.
Yeah, okay. Because there's an agent out there named Gene. I just can't pronounce her last name. But she's booked us up solid through June of next year with authors that she represents.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And she herself will be on the show
Maybe you need to meet Jean.
Maybe you need to meet Jean, yeah. I think she's going to be on in February, so that would maybe be a show you want to check out and call in on.
Really? Yeah. Right. That's great.
Yeah. And other than that, I don't think we have anything else to say.
No. I think we've enjoyed our time.
I do as well. And thank you again so much for coming on. And if you would be, you know, think about coming on again, we'd love to have you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, for sure. I'd love it. Thanks so much.
Oh, and I have your address. That would be, I'm not going to say it on the air, but the one that you sent is correct. Is that not right?
Your mailing address that you sent.
Okay, because we're going to send you a memento Writer's Block coffee mug.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I love it.
Yeah, Jim Jones got one last week, and he just went gaga.
Setting a new standard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. So it'll be probably close to a week before you get it, but I will get it out as quickly as I can.
Oh, that's so great. Thank you.
Well, no, and thank you. And thank you for agreeing to come on this little show of ours.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun.
And we hope to hear from you again, please.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Okay, Jean.
Have a good night.
Oh, Jean.
All right.
Pam.
Thanks,
Pam. Good night.
Bye-bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right,
bye-bye. Wow. That was fun.
That was really fun. I can't wait to finish this. I even brought my little nightlight so I can read this on the way home because I want to know the end of this book.
Oh, that's because you don't drive.
Yeah, no. That's another reason Jim is here.
I know.
Oh.
He's the chauffeur and the chair holder upper and the photographer.
He's my prince.
Right now he's tired.
He's
okay.
My prince.
He's
going to
start snoozing
here.
Well,
you know, we were reading late last night, so.
Well, I think he was probably sleeping. You were probably reading.
No, he was actually reading last night.
I tried to screw.
He was actually reading.
Out West Concert Series. Who's on? 2 weeks, yeah?
2 weeks we have Tom Corbett and his band. Tom is a phenomenal mandolin player and guitar player, folk singer, bluegrass, a little bit of everything, dynamic. Really looking forward to having him. And then we'll be down. There are just two left for this year, Tom. And then next month, Adrian Buckaroo Girl coming down from Northern California, another phenomenal performer. And then we'll be like November. Can you believe, Jim? I really can't believe it.
Well, Andrea's here the first week in November.
Yes. Yes.
Which I'm looking forward to because I just love
Andrea. Us on November 5th.
And she has her
Sesame Sky and...
Yeah, but her producer's coming with her.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, she said that, she will be
from
attending
Affirm
as well.
Records. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, so
great,
she's coming in as
great,
well.
Great,
I think her name is Catherine Laws.
Yes.
No relation to Charlotte.
No. That's
so if you're listening, Charlotte, you can call in too.
Yeah.
Actually, we invite all of the authors that have been on the Writer's Block to call in and chat from time to time. We'll see how you're doing. And if you got anything going on, now's the time to do it.
Yep. Yeah, we have a wonderful, this is a full schedule coming up here.
Yeah, we're kind of booked all the way through the end of the year and halfway through next year. So
I can't believe we're halfway through next year.
I know.
There's some people I want to get on the show. I better get a move on.
I know, huh? Well, the bookie's pulling out her hair trying to get everything coordinated. So right now she's doing a pretty good job.
She does a great job.
Yeah. I said, look, I just want information about the author Monday before they're on. Okay.
I need it a little sooner than
well,
that.
Well, yeah,
Jerry.
Because you like to buy all the books.
Well, I like to read.
So any of you lost authors out there that have been on this show before and you'd like to call in, please do. We'd love to have you. And I think that we're pretty much out of time. So
We are for tonight.
So thank you all for listening. We'll be back next Thursday. And in the words of the wonderful Courtney Joyner,
right on.
And fight on. But I think it's reversed.
Fight on and right on.
Anyway,
well, it works.
Thanks, guys, for listening, and have a good night.